Good morning, everybody. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just want to thank the worship team for getting us in that place of worship. Amen. How many of you realize that the Lord shows up with the power of worship? Amen. We want to welcome you all. Amen. And I want to welcome my new son-in-law. If you don't know what a new son-in-law looks like, brand new, 3 months. Amen. Praise God. I like embarrassing him. Amen. I told him he's a PK. He's a preacher's kid. Amen. Praise God. We do want to welcome all of you, this morning. And I just thank you for being here. And I really believe that the Lord wants to really say something this morning about his goodness and his favor that he's bestowed upon each of you. I want to just really kind of embrace what the Spirit of the Lord was saying this morning. Because you know what? There's times that we've gone through so much. There's things that come and it seems like there's not a hope. There's not a destiny or dream. The enemy comes to shake and to try to rob us and keep us in a place where we feel like there is no hope for tomorrow. Well, I'm coming this morning to tell you that there is a God that is bigger than every circumstance and situation. Amen. Even as Brother Richard prophesied, the Word of God says that there are sweet waters coming. How many of you need some sweet water in your life? Amen. How many of you looking forward to something better than where you're at right now that you're saying, Lord, I want to enter in. I want to pursue you. I want to go where you want me to go. I want to be able to receive everything that you have for me. I mean, how many can say amen to that this morning? Amen. Father, I just pray right now that the Spirit of God just be here this morning. Stir the hearts of your people, Father. I pray right now for a new faith, a new hope being stirred within them. I pray, Father, right now, the Lord, that we may encounter Jesus this morning in a way that we've never seen him before. And Father, that you come to change the circumstance. You come to change the situation. You come to change everything that we're going through so that we can see the greatness of God in a new way. And Father, I just pray right now for every heart that is heavy. The Father, that you come right now and lift, Father, even as you say you're the lifter of our heads. I pray that you lift, Father, the heaviness from my brothers and sisters this morning. And Father, that you pour into them a new trust, a new hope, and a new faith in them. That Father, the Lord, you are a God that is able to do all things because you are a powerful God. And Father, as you say in your word, there is no greater thing than love. And Father, you say love conquers all. Father, I pray right now that you would fill the hearts with love. Father, that they would feel the importance of who you are in their hearts. Let them feel the love of God, Father. Let them feel the love of God, Lord. I thank you for your word this morning. I pray, Father, that it would speak to the hearts. And Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen. The Lord comes this morning to really encourage you. I'm going to read what I wrote because I really believe it was given to me by God. Amen. We're coming to a crossroads in our lives and deciding which way we will continue. We can all recognize some of the life-changing experiences we have had, we have faced during our lifetime. How many can say amen to that? Things that have happened that caused changes in our lives, whether for the better or for the worse. But what I want to talk to you today is having a spiritual encounter that will change your eternal destination and your eternal residence. When you come to a place in your life that you know you need spiritual change, when you come to that place in your life when you know you need a spiritual change, you know that you need God in a different way than you've ever had him before. When you come to that place and you say, Lord, I need you. I need you more now than I've ever needed you before because I'm facing something that where, Lord, you've got to be God over this circumstance. There is a shifting of our tired lives, our choices, our thoughts, and even the person that we are. It is not a position of hopelessness, but a change to step into something that is going to cause a difference. How many of us feel that our lives have at times been like a merry-go-round going round and around and around with no real direction or not moving with a purpose. Am I talking to the right crowd this morning? Well, I want you to know that God has taken notice of your merry-go-round. And He's saying, I'm going to take you off your merry-go-round. And I'm going to give you direction and purpose. Because with true repentance comes a true encounter with Jesus. And I'm going to talk a little bit about an encounter that changed the life because of the power of God when Jesus came into their lives and how it changed every circumstance. And my prayer is this morning that you be able to walk out of here knowing and seeing and understanding that there is a God that loves you more than anything else. Nothing in this world compares to the love that God has for you. See, the enemy wants to try to trick us and try to show us that there's so much in this world that he's trying to entertain us and pull us in different directions. And some of us, all of us, have kind of fell victims of that, haven't we? Because we start following paths or we start following things in our lives that are distracting us from the real things of God. But God this morning is saying, I'm coming and I'm going to show you when you really have an encounter with Jesus, how things change. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 and 3. I love when the Lord just shows up and gives me a word and allows me to just embrace what He's saying, because He shows you things you've never seen before in His Word. Even though it's been there, you've read it. Sometimes the light turns on, amen. And it's found in Luke chapter 5, verses 1. I'm going to read, it's pretty much all the way down to 8, but I'm going to just break it down as we go. It says, so it was as the multitude pressed about Him to hear the word of God that He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. It says, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. It says, then Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put it out a little from the land. And He sat down and He taught the multitude from the boat. So visualize this. Here Jesus is with the multitude. He's by this shore. And the multitude are crowding around Him and He's trying to speak to them. But the multitude is getting so intense that it's kind of becoming a big crowd. And it's kind of becoming a little too uncomfortable. They're getting too close. So He couldn't project His voice. He wanted to position Himself where He could speak to the multitude that were around Him. Amen. So He saw a boat and He gets in the boat and He tells the individual that owns the boat, push me out a little bit so now I can project to the people and they can hear me speak. Amen. It doesn't say what He spoke about that morning, but it says that He gave a word to them. All right. And the thing about it is He was in a boat that was owned by an individual named Simon. We know Simon Peter, his name is later changed to Peter, and he becomes the rock, amen? But see, if you go to 1 John, it talks about, before I go there, how many of you realize that God is a God of the setup? I love to say that because how many of you realize that He sets you up? How many of you realize by Him getting on that boat and telling Peter to push it off a little bit, something is about to happen. He's setting you up for something. How many of you realize that God is setting you up sometimes through the journey of your life so that He can show His greatness in your life? Even though sometimes you may not understand what He's doing or what you're facing or what you're going through, but if you keep your eyes on Him, He will show you His greatness through the circumstance and the situation. How many of you can say amen? How many of you can look back in your life and say, there was times that I know, Pastor, that I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what was going to come out of this situation. But I stuck with the Lord, and the Lord came through. He gave me victory over the circumstance. He gave me an ability to be able to move forward and put things behind me. Amen. In other words, God has brought victory in our lives time and time again, hasn't He? But the thing about it is when something happens that really rocks your boat, you forget about everything God has done for you. So I'm coming this morning to remind you that there is a God that is a victorious God. And as He has led you through the wilderness, as He had led you through the desert, and He says that He provides a highway in the wilderness, and He provides water in the desert, He will continue to do what He needs to do for His children. And if you are a son or a daughter of the Most High God, you've got to walk expecting the miracles of God. You've got to be able to walk understanding that we are children, that we can bring down heaven here to earth. How many can say amen to that? These are exciting times, people. We're seeing a lot of darkness, but you know what? I really believe that God wants to shine His light in a new way, in a new manner, but He's looking for a people that are willing to say, Lord, here I am. Are we those people? Are we willing to stand here and say, Lord, I'm here for You. Wherever You lead me, whatever You do, You want me to push my boat out a little farther, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do whatever You want, Lord. Because Father, I trust You. I know that there's victories in my life that You have caused. You have seen me through the hard and You've seen me through the good times. That's why we still say, I raise a hallelujah today. I can worship my God because even though through the biggest and the darkest times in my life, my God shines through. Amen? So we see here, Peter is being set up. But in the book of John, I think it's John 35, it mentions that John the Baptist, he saw Jesus walking by and he goes, behold, the Lamb of God. And it says that two of his disciples, one was Andrew, which was Simon's brother, departed from John Baptist, the Baptist, and started to pursue Jesus. It says that Jesus, if you read that scripture, it says that Jesus was walking and he noticed two of them were following him. So he stops and he turns around and says, what could I help you with? It says that they got so shook up that they didn't know what to say. And Andrew says, where do you stay? How many of you have ever been in a situation when they ask you something and you weren't expecting to get, your words fumble and you say something ridiculous? That's exactly where Andrew was. He says, Jesus turns around and says, what could I help you with? And he was like, oh, we got caught. We didn't want him to know we were following him. Where do you stay? And he said, come. Jesus said, come. And you know what? When you spend time with Jesus, who's the first people you want to run to and tell them about Jesus? Isn't it your family? Don't you want to run and tell your family? Well, it says in that story that Andrew, as soon as he got a chance, he told Jesus, I want to introduce you to my brother, Peter, Simon. It was Simon at that time. And it says, let me read that part. I think it's verse 42, John 1. It says, and he brought him to Jesus. It says, now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is Peter, which also just translated to the rock. Do you realize what Jesus just did there? He complimented him. He said, you look solid, man. How many of you men, when someone looks at you and says, man, you look solid. You look like a rock. I'm going to call you the rock. Felt pretty good. That's what Peter felt. When the first words that came out of Jesus' mouth to him was a compliment. And told him, you're a rock. You look good. You're solid. How many of you realize that the Lord is still speaking to you and He has nothing but to say but compliments to you? He doesn't see all your flaws. He doesn't see all your sin. He doesn't see all that. He looks at you and He says, oh, my daughter, you're beautiful in my eyes. You're precious. Every gift that's in you, I gave it to you. You know, we had a real encounter one time that was pretty amazing. When we first started pastoring up here, we were up at the little church up in El Rito. This girl came up to me, and it was pretty amazing because this gentleman had been coming, and she started coming with him as you know, I guess they were boyfriend and girlfriend. And anyway, I remember I went to go get some, we were having a potluck, it was after service, and she comes up to me, I'm serving some food, and she comes up to me, and some of you have heard this story, she comes up to me and tells me, I'm serving it. She comes up and she says, you know what? The only reason I am here, because I love that guy. I will never worship your God because I'm a witch. That's what she told me. You know what I started thinking? I started thinking, what did she touch? Did she put a curse on anything? Should I tell her to get out of here? Should I tell her to get out of here? I'm thinking all these things. But then I started calling on the name of the Lord. I said, Father, what can I say? And you know what came out of my mouth? It wasn't what I was thinking. I looked at the girl and I said, that boldness is from God. That boldness is a gift from God. You speak with boldness. I stayed looking at it like, wow. She stayed looking at me like, wow. Really? But because I didn't say what I was thinking, but I said what the Lord gave me. 3 months later, it was right around this time. In fact, I think it was Easter Sunday when I gave a message that I remember I was almost finishing my sermon. I was going to have an altar call, and the girl ran up to the front right here at the altar at the other church. She said, I want to know your God. I want to know your God. But see, if I would have said what I was thinking, I would have shut that girl off. I would have cut off any spirituality, anything that God wanted to do. But because I was sensitive to what God wanted to say and not what I was thinking. See, sometimes that's the way the Lord works. He says things that don't appear or you shouldn't say, but he says them with a compliment when you think, you know what, I should be blasting this person and kicking him out. And that's what he did with Peter. He saw Peter and he read it and said, you're a good looking guy. You're solid. You're a rock. He complimented him. Our Jesus is one that comes to compliment you this morning. He wants to see you do great things. He wants you to be an overcomer, one that achieves greatness. That's why he calls us overcomers. So many times in our life we feel like failures. Because of the bitterness that we go through, the bitter waters that we drink. But God says, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste of the goodness of God. Watch, hang out with Jesus and watch what he does. I love to say this is getting gooder. So we see, here Jesus is, he tells Peter to push his boat out and he gives a good sermon. But then he says, in verse 4, Luke 5, when he had stopped speaking, in other words, he had finished his sermon, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will lie down the net. I like that Jesus, first of all, he didn't say, we're going to launch out your boat and let's go fishing. He told him, let's go for a catch. Throw your nets and let's go for a catch. In other words, Jesus already knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to transpire. But see, I really want to spend a little time on what Peter said. Because Peter said, I have toiled all night and I have caught nothing. How many of you realize that sometimes in your life, you're doing it your way and it's not working? And you keep consistently keep doing it your way and you don't ask or listen to the things that God is speaking in your life. How many of you, because you've done it this way, you continue to do it this way, and you expect something different? I've toiled all night. In other words, I was fishing all night. And I didn't catch a thing. But Jesus said, we're not going fishing. We're going catching. And there's a shift there. But see, the important part is, in order for there to be repentance, there's got to be obedience. In other words, for you to be able to see God's greatness work in your life, you've got to lay down your will and embrace His will. Because Peter was saying, I don't really want to do it because I've done this all night. How many of you have been doing something in your life and you think it's going to work this next time? You think it's going to work this next time? You think it's going to work this next time? But you keep seeing it fail in your life. Well, God is saying today, it's time for you to listen to what the Lord has to say in your life so that you can see an outcome that will be totally different than you've ever expected. Jesus is saying, let's go for a catch. Let's go for something different. Because you know what? What I am going to show you is going to blow your mind and it's going to cause you to understand my greatness. See, God is a God of goodness. He's a God of greatness. And if we get out of the way, we get to experience what He wants to do in our lives. So many times we're so busy telling God how to be God that we interfere with His perfect plan. We're the ones telling Him how to do it. How many can say amen? Everybody got quiet there. I'm stepping on toes, I guess. I thought I was the only one. I thought you guys would say, no, Pastor, what's wrong with you? You got to do what God says. Get fired up. The thing about it is, so many times in our lives, I really believe that we feel we can do it and we're going to do it right. Can we say amen to that? But the thing about it, there's a loving God that not only knows where you're at, but He also wants you to know He knows your future. And in order to be blessed in your future, all you got to do and say, you know what, Lord, I'm tired of doing it my way. And if you want me to let my nets down one more time, I'll do it, Lord. Because you've said it, I'm going to obey it, and I want to see you do it. I want to see what you're going to do, Lord. Amen? Our God is such a loving God. And you know one of the things that I have to say is, a lot of us have been trained up to follow or to believe or to react to the way things ought to be in this world. But if we're praying that it be here on earth as it is in heaven, we have to have a heavenly mentality to overcome the earthly understanding. That was good right there. That was from God. I hope you understood that. Because I can't repeat that. That was pretty good. We've got to start thinking of the greatness of God. Start walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and everything that God is so that we can be able to bring down heaven to earth. But see, if we continue to do the things in an earthly matter, we're going to get earthly results. But what God is stirring in my heart is we've got to shift in our minds the understanding of what it means to be heavenly minded. People that have a hope. How many of you realize that there are certain things in heaven? I mean, in heaven, that not allowed, that are from earth. How many of you realize that sickness is not found in heaven? You know, through the Bible study we were doing, we were talking about heaven and hell. And one of the sisters, I think it was Sister Joella, said that she was reading this book. And I had never really grasped this, but it makes sense. Hell is everything that heaven isn't. In other words, darkness, No presence of God, no presence of right or wrong, no presence of peace, no presence of joy. So you start thinking of everything that hell is. It's everything that God's not. But then you got to look at it on the other side. Heaven is everything that hell isn't. There's no pain, no crying, no hurts, happiness, joy, power, praise, glory, presence of God all over, feeling good, happy, excited. You guys start sharing something. It's a good place. Heaven is a really, really good place. But everything that is bad, everything that is evil, is not found in heaven. So why is it that we embrace the ways of the world and we let them impact our heavenly minds and our heavenly hearts? We are children of God. We ought to respond and react to the things that move us from heaven. The things of this earth, as it says in the scripture, should become strangely dim in the light of His glory. We should be those that are seeking God in a way that the things of this world, we identify them and we say, nah, that's nothing to do with God. We push them away. Sicknesses may come and we say, you know what? My God's my healer. My God can change that. You know what? Doctors have to give you the worst. I'm not against doctors. I think they're here for a reason and a purpose. But you know what? We should consult our God. We should go to God and say, God, what do you have to say about this? Lord, what do you have to say about this? Because you know what? When you're lined up with God, you're going to see the goodness and the favor of God in your life. How many can say amen to that? How many of you want to see God moving in a greater way, in a greater power? You know, we're starting to see some miracles happen in this place. And it's not because of who we are. It's because of who He is. Amen? But we've got to want more of Him. We can't become satisfied with anything ordinary. We've got to be able to say, Lord, we want more of You. Father, I want to see You at my workplace. Lord, I want to see You everywhere I go. Father, I want to be able to walk into a doctor's office and let him hear of the goodness of God. Amen? Because, Lord, You're a miracle worker. You are a powerful God. Because when we let God do it, things happen. Let's read on here. What happens? Verse 6. Remember, Simon, his name was the Simon. He had just told God, but at your command, I will do what you have told me to do. It says, and when they had done this, in other words, he let his nets down. It says, they caught a great number of fish. It says, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners, in other words, and they said, come help us, to the guys that had the other boat that was right next to them. And it says, in the other boat, to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so that they began to sink. I'm telling you, that's catching. I heard it said this way. By Michael Dalton. He was given an example, and I could imagine. Can you imagine when they let down the nets and Jesus basically probably said, hey fish, get in the net. All the fish were just jumping, all of them were just moving, getting in, saying, Jesus is calling us, we gotta get over here, we gotta get in the net. We gotta show a miracle, we gotta show a blessing. We gotta do it because Jesus is calling us. See, you gotta understand, because He is the great I am. When He says something, it's gonna happen. Miracles happen at the calling of His name. But when there's obedience, I'm telling you, if there is something that God is telling you to do in your life, do it, yield to it, and say, Lord, here I am. I'm here for You, Lord, so that You can be able to see the greatness of God. I'm telling you. I don't know if there was any fish left in that lake. Because all of them said, Jesus is calling me. We got to get in the net. The boats were sinking. The boats were sinking. How many of you realize God wants to sink your boat? God wants to sink your boat. God wants to sink your boat with His favor, His blessing. We're going into a time of Easter. We've got to understand everything that Jesus did. The person that He was, but also the miracles that He performed. He did it all for you. He did it all for you. Just imagine when Peter was pulling those nets in and he said, I fished all night, but now God is telling me to catch and look at this. Well, let me show you what He does. Verse 8, and when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, depart from me, I am a sinful man. At the miracle that Jesus performed in his life, Simon couldn't handle it and he said, fell down and said, depart from me. I am not worthy of having you in my boat. I am a sinful man. Understand that he saw what God was doing and he fell to his knees and asked, forgive me. I recognize how powerful you are. I don't know who you are, Master, but I recognize that you are a God that is beyond. I've never seen anything like this before. He falls to his knees and he's saying, God, forgive me. I recognize who you are. You're something totally different than I've ever seen before. Because see, Peter knew what it was like to be a fisherman. There was times that he probably had a good night of catching fish, but it was never that to that magnitude. And it was even the wrong time of the day to be fishing. Everything was not in line to be able to catch that kind of catch. So he knew it because he knew his times and his seasons as a man. But see, when God shows up, your times and your seasons don't matter because all that matters is what He has and what He says. Everything changes at the presence of our God. Things have to kneel down to our Savior. Sickness has to bow down to His greatness. Amen? The devil flees at the mention of His name. Amen? Everything that Jesus is in you. He says, I have come to set the captives free. The same power, the same Spirit that raised me from the dead lives in you. It dwells in you. Why is it? How many of us can say, I'm a lot like Peter? Well, my name's Peter, so I'm a lot like Peter. You know, how many of us try to do it our way? We do it our way, and we do it our way. But when you recognize the greatness of God, all you can do is fall on your knees, fall on your face, and say, Father, forgive me. Father, you're such a good God. Look at what happens when there's obedience. Look at what happens when you look into the eyes of a mighty Savior, where all things become possible. We're going into a time of remembering what took place for Resurrection Sunday. My heart is that each one of you embrace and understand that true meaning of that scripture. It says, if God is for you, who can be against you? I like saying it, who dares coming against you? Because you know what? You're children of the Most High God. We've got to start acting and start rising up and start being children of God. Because you know what? Peter could have made a choice. He could have said, you know what? I'm tired. I don't want to go fishing no more. I fished all night. Some of us say the same thing to the Lord. Lord, I've done it over and over again. Lord, I'm tired of this. I quit. I throw in the towel. I don't want to do this no more. There's people that are even giving up on life. Because they don't want to do it no more. And all their God is saying is, let me show you where to drop your net. Let me enter into your life and show you how to do it. Because if there's obedience in your heart and you're looking to the Father, all things become possible. All things become possible. Healings come your way. Cancer, the one thing that a lot of people fear is the word cancer. My Jesus is bigger than cancer. My God is bigger than cancer. No matter what you face, if you put it and you put it, compare it side by side with Jesus, it doesn't compare. Because our God is such a big God. We were meeting with Sister Sue the other night and she said something that really, really ministered to me. She said, we don't have to die because we're sick. Did you realize that? You can be healthy. You can be healthy to the end. Because the scripture that lines up with that is, you look at the patriarchs, you look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It says that they brought in they knew it was time. Not because they were sick, they were old. And it was time for them to go. So they said, bring in the children, let me pass this mantle on, let me pray over them and bless them, because it's time for me to go. Another great scripture is, I love this scripture, and I always ask, Lord, give me the same power that you gave Caleb. Because Caleb, at the age of 80, he said, Joshua, I'm ready to go take my inheritance. Moses said that where I walked around, that's mine. And he looked at that mountain, and do you know what? That's where the giants lived. And he even told Joshua, Joshua, don't even send the army. I got this. Because my God already promised me that. And the words of my God are more powerful than any army we can raise. And he said, I am as strong now as I was back then. He was 80 years old and he was referring to when he was 40. I am as strong now as I was back then. How many of you can say, I want that too, Lord? Amen. I want that. When I'm 80 years old, I want to be like Caleb, Lord. Give me that. Give me that. Give me that strength. Let Jesus look at me and say, look, there is Peter. Look how solid he is. He's a rock. How many can say amen? God wants to look at you and encourage you, compliment you, and say, you're able because you're my son. You're able because you're my daughter. That's why you're able. How many can say amen to that? I'm telling you, God is doing a great thing. God is moving in a way that He's never moved before. Because the thing is, we need to see the greatness of God in new measures. Amen. How many of you are ready to start saying, Lord, where you lead me, I will go. Where you tell me to cast my net, I'm going to cast my net. I want to start seeing the miracles of God like I've never seen them before. I'm going to put my trust in you, Lord. I'm going to believe everything that is in the Word of God, that every promise is for me because I am a child of God. You know what? We need to start proclaiming these things. We need to start announcing them and say, I am a child of the Most High God. My God is with me, and who dares be against me? And if my God is with me, amen, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Amen. I really believe God wants to do some great things. I get excited because I know some people here need what God has. An outpouring of the greatness of God in a measure so that you can see God move like never before. Because when Peter fell on his face and he asked for forgiveness, understand, he had just won the lottery. That's how many fish they caught. He would just become very wealthy in the fish department that he was in the fish world that he was in. He just became very, very, very wealthy. And you know what it says he did? He brought the fish to the shore and he walked away from it. Why? Because the value he saw in this person, Jesus Christ, was more important than any value that compared from this earth. In other words, if he brought fish, he's going to take care of me. It doesn't matter if I have the lottery behind me. It doesn't matter. This is the one I want to follow because you know what? All things, he just told me to drop my net and he blessed me. When you put your eyes on God, what you thought was important doesn't hold any value. Just imagine, he was a fisherman. He was always probably thinking about that big catch. He probably talked about it, about dreams. He probably told his wife, one of these days, honey, I'm going to make a catch that's going to just bless us. We're going to get a bigger tent. We're going to buy more land. We're going to have more sheep so we can sacrifice. I don't know what he promised his wife. I'm going to get you a new kimono. I don't know. I don't know what promises they made back in that day. Amen. But I want you to know he probably dreamed about that big catch. But when he got the big catch, it didn't compare to the one that gave it to him. His eyes were set on Jesus. And he said, Lord, I just want to be with you. I just want to be around you. Because everything of value loses its value in your presence. And all I want is you. I hope I'm praying. I pray that I'm speaking to some hearts here this morning. Because you know what? God has what you need. God has it. Sometimes we just have to pursue him with a passion in our hearts. And say, God, I want you. It says that we have not because we ask not. If we're walking with God and we know God, we can ask. The word of God says, and it shall be given unto you. To you. That's according to King James right there. See, the Lord wants to do some things in our lives for such a time as this. How many of you are tired of being on your merry-go-round? Going round and round and round. How many of you are really ready to say, Lord, I want to receive your direction and your guidance. I want to walk with purpose. I want every one of my steps to be ordered of the Lord. Do you see how the scripture just kind of starts unfolding so that it can lead us closer to God? You know, there's a lot of people out there that are lost. They need to see real, genuine love. People that truly love God. That's what the world is waiting for. And God is saying, I'm stirring my spirit. I want my people to fall in love with me once again, to embrace me like never before, so they can walk with purpose and destiny. Amen. That's what God wants to do to you. He wants you to give you such a peace where all the fruits of the spirits are abiding within you. You're walking with joy. You're walking that when you walk into the room, the atmosphere changes because you know what? It's not who you are, but it's who's with you. That's who our God is. And if there are things you're going through, struggles that you're facing, say, Lord, give them to you. I lay them down because I know my God is able. My God is bigger than every circumstance and situation. Amen? You guys are getting serious on me. You want me to do my fish dance again? God is so good. God is so good. This morning we're going to be having communion. And right after communion, I want to have a time of prayer with anyone that really wants anything that they're going through or facing. Because I really believe God wants, through the power of prayer, God moves in miracle ways. You know, if the enemy has come to try to rob you of a hope or a dream of yours, I'm telling you right now, God is coming to restore. It says that he's a restorer. What the enemy has stolen, God comes to restore. How many can say amen to that? Amen. And he brings it back even seven times better. Amen. Praise God. This morning, I just want everyone to rise up. And I'm going to have Brother Richard come up and just lead us in communion. Amen. Do you have that mic over there, Gail? Pastor Gail. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, when Peter, he must have heard something in that sermon, Pastor. He must have heard something in that sermon that Jesus preached to the multitudes. He must have. Because he was a proud man. Just like all of us are. Very proud. And all of a sudden Jesus said, cast your net. And he was like, okay, I will. And then when he saw the catch, all of a sudden, it hit Peter. Jesus loves me. He loves me. His grace, all of a sudden, the floodgates just came out. And he changed his mind. He repented. That's what repentance means. To change your mind about God. How many are ready to change their mind about God? I am. How about you? That's what repentance means. Change your mind. To turn around. Turn your thinking around about God. He loves you. When Jesus gathered the disciples together for Passover, for the Last Supper, he told them everything. He washed their feet. He washed their feet. Peter was like, what are you doing? Don't touch me. And he says, I have to. You want me to wash your whole body? Which he was going to do when he comes to Jesus. He told them what was going to happen, when it was going to happen, and how it was going to happen. How that he must be lifted up at the cross. At the end he said, remember what I've done for you. And that's what we're doing today corporately as a church. Remembering what Jesus has done for you. Personally, on a personal basis, each one of you. What did he do for you, Dave? Did he die for you? Did he shed his blood for you? He went to the cross for you. He was scourged for you. Those crown of thorns were placed upon his head and they squashed him on it. And they went right into his skull. Every precious drop of blood was for us. And that's what we're going to do this morning, is to remember. Remember what he's done on the cross, his sacrifice. He took us there. He took our shame. He took our guilt. upon himself so that we wouldn't have to feel guilty or shameful anymore or feel condemned. Jesus did all that for us. How many can say amen to that? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So as you come up, as you begin to come up to receive the elements, the bread and the juice, just remember that he did it for you. Amen? He did it for you so that we could remember what he did for us. Hallelujah.